What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Metalcore Nerds. I am your host, Sean Mott. I am back from vacation, ready to get things ramped back up in the podcast, and I'm here to talk about the latest entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Eternals, and I have Tyler Tate from the band Hollowfront joining me. One, thank you so much for joining me, and how are you doing today?
Very, very good. I think we talked about this probably in summer. I don't know.
It was a while ago.
About like doing this a while ago, and I picked one that specifically because I wasn't going to be around because I was going to be on tour. So, and I didn't know anything about the Eternals, so I'm just like super stoked to get into it. And the movie was not going to go too into it until we get there, but I'm excited to talk about it.
Hell yeah. I remember I talked to you just briefly about the podcast and everything, and this is the one you picked. So I was like, I got to give it to him. He called a shot. I'm not going to deny him that.
I could have took the easy way and did Spider-Man because no one had that yet.
It's true.
I was like, I want to pick an interesting one. I've always been a fan of Spider-Man, so it'd be too easy.
Yeah, who isn't? So
you know, pick Eternals and make it hard on myself.
Yeah, like you, I didn't know really anything about Eternals. Basically, beforehand, I did research on basically who they were, at least the characters we meet in this movie and what their powers were. It was more of just like a broad understanding. And even before then, it took until the movie to learn all their names because it's 10 main characters. It's a lot going on in this movie. It's a massive, massive movie. But before we get into the Eternal stock, we do have quite a few things to talk about. A lot has happened in the last 2 weeks since our last show. That's the name of the game in pop culture. There's always a million things going on at once. But I want to talk to you. I know you just got back from tour, so this might not be anything, but has there been anything you've been watching lately, or are you now just home and have this long list of stuff you need to catch up on?
So I kind of watch some stuff on the road, but really it's really hard.
Yeah,
because like, it's just like I'm either driving or sleeping, playing a show, basically. Those are my three modes.
Yep.
But we started Squid Game.
Okay, yeah.
On the road.
Hell yeah.
So when I got home, I kind of finished that. That was kind of like my first thing to finish.
Cool.
And honestly, like murder documentaries, like there's like Catching Killers is like a new Netflix series thing that they got that I watched. And not really anything like substantial though, because obviously we're waiting for Hawkeye, we're waiting for all these other shows to come.
Yep.
I watched a little bit of Shang-Chi last night in the IMAX format.
But you've seen it. Cool. You've seen it already, right?
I have.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah.
Cool.
I want my kids to see it.
That's awesome. I saw it twice in theaters, and then my wife was on the show for the first time to talk about that, and that was really, really cool. She is like first generation Asian American, so that movie was a little more special to her than most people, which is cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I love that fucking movie. I thought that movie. I'm still in awe of how much that movie blew me away. It's like crazy.
It was kind of like one of those movies where I was like, I didn't expect much, and then it just kind of was like, holy shit, okay. I feel like the same for Eternals, too, but Eternals didn't capture like what Shang-Chi did.
Same. Very insanely different styles of movies, for sure, which is a new thing for the MCU, I think, is now that we're getting like, I mean, we kind of did before, like obviously like Ant-Man is nothing like Avengers Endgame or even Avengers, and you know, Winter Soldier was kind of like a spy movie and stuff like that. But I feel like Phase 4 is really going into like, oh, like WandaVision is like the craziest thing we've ever done, like stylistically, and Loki was a weird sci-fi show, and Shang-Chi was a fantasy kung fu movie, you know, and Eternals is just another weird heady sci-fi movie, which I like. I mean, that's the only way you're going to be able to grow. They like gained everyone's trust, and now they're like, hey, now we're swinging for the fences and just doing whatever, you know, which I respect that.
And like I know we're going to talk about the Disney Plus day,
yes,
but like all those announcements that they did, it was like a lot of characters I've never heard of, but it's just cool. I know some people might be like, oh, I'm fatigued, I'm sick of like all these side characters, but I'm like, no, that just for me, like Guardians of the Galaxy was my favorite movie just because I didn't know anything about them.
Yep.
And it just kind of, it was a movie that came out of nowhere and blew me away, which I was kind of like, when Guardians was like announced, I was like, I don't give a shit about that.
You know, right.
Where's the next Avengers?
You're right.
And then they came in and it was like, holy crap. So I'm excited for the future of Phase 4 because there's, it's not just movies anymore. You know,
no.
It used to be just movies. Now it's television, and it's going to be insane.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've definitely seen some people being like, wow, this is like a lot. And it is a lot, but it's not like all of this is dropping tomorrow, you know? And,
right, yeah. They're going to space it out like they have been.
And they might lose some people. It's getting way weirder. It's getting a lot bigger. They're holding our hands a lot less. They're expecting us to piece things together rather than be like, hey, this is a part of this. But that's what the fandom's been like. Even people who are outside of, I call it like the nerd bubble of people like us who are like hyper obsessed and follow all the news. It's like, Sam, my wife, loves Marvel movies and watches all the shows with me and everything, but she's not looking at all these news, watching these trailer breakdowns and stuff like that. She isn't doing that. So she's kind of in the middle of like hyper crazy people and people who do none of that, and they just kind of watch the trailer and they're like, oh, it's a Marvel movie, I'm going to go to the movie, which is the majority of everyone. Like, we are the minority of fans is like the hyper nerds, you know? And I feel like a lot, I talk about it on the podcast kind of a lot. I've probably beaten a dead horse at this point, but I like to put that perspective in people's minds because a lot of people forget that. You know, a lot of people forget that, like, we are a very special group of people in a way, like the Facebook group and stuff like that.
Right.
And most people have no idea about any of this shit, you know? And they're like, what do you mean? What the fuck is any of this? You know, but it's exciting.
People that are even more extreme that know everything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know everything. Like, there's a lot of things, like, and I watch the trailers and the breakdowns and and even I don't watch those to like the highest extent that I possibly could. But like there's some people out there, especially the dudes making these breakdown videos that are just like talking about, you know.
Yeah.
And I watched a few Eternals ones just to kind of, you know, because I watched the movie like 2 weeks ago, so I wanted to kind of, you know,
refresh it,
recap, and just and then they were going deep, you know.
Oh yeah.
Some stuff that like it was irrelevant to the movie, to be honest, but it's just cool to kind of get that backstory, you know, because you're talking Eternals is a 4-decade-old comic book, you know, that came out in like the late 60s, like early 70s.
Yeah, and even it being that old, there's not much comic lore to them. There is, but in comparison to like Spider-Man or Captain America, there's not a lot.
From what I've seen is the Eternals characters kind of, they more like cameoed in other comics.
Pretty much. Yeah, like Cersei becomes an Avenger. I believe Icarus becomes an Avenger at 1.2. Some other...
Knight, obviously, he's not Eternal,
he's not really associated with the Eternals in the comics at all. He does have a relationship with Cersei in the comics, but it's really just him and Cersei, nothing else with the other Eternals, too.
Well,
which
I watched something today, and they were saying they tried to pull off a triangle between Icarus, Cersei, and Black Knight, like they did with Logan, Wolverine, and Jean Grey.
God,
it didn't work.
And I'm glad.
They abandoned it really quickly.
I'm happy because there was already way too much in this movie. We did not need that to happen in this movie. That would have made it a little too much.
I mean, you kind of got it a little. Because
you got the tension.
You know,
the pilot. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You get the whole, oh, he's just the pilot.
yeah, that was...
This must be the pilot.
That was funny. So we're about to get into Disney Plus A, but before that, I have a reoccurring segment. It's sort of new to the show, but I call it the Metalcore Nerds Pull List. I've created a Spotify playlist with all the new music I've been listening to, which if you're watching or listening, you can check in the description and you can click the link and follow it and check out all the stuff I've been listening to. So I have a few new songs that have been added in the last couple of weeks. The music this year has actually just been insane. It's crazy. There's so much new stuff coming out and a lot of it is very good. So this is what I have added to the list. The pop punk band In Her Own Words. When I was a booking agent, I actually booked them. They're super amazing dudes. My wife Sam is actually really close friends with the singer. Kind of have known him since he was like basically a child. But they just put out a new song called Leaving Forever. They just announced that they're on Thriller Records, which I believe was it's an offshoot of In Vogue. I think it has something to do with that label that the dude from Alisana used to run. I think he kind of sold it to In Vogue, and now it's like an offshoot of In Vogue. I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's something along those lines.
I thought it was Fearless. I might be wrong
too. Maybe.
I know a band called The Void.
Void, who's on it. But yeah, and I think that was because they were on the Alisana label, and then it got sold and turned into Thriller, and I think they were like contractually obligated to go there. That I could be wrong too, but I remember I used to be close with the person who used to book A Void before they got picked up by Powell, right before they blew up, and told me a little bit about the situation.
They worked with Eric, too?
I believe so, yes. I think that's Powell. Cool.
We have Eric.
Yeah, that's what I thought, which is cool. That band's awesome, too.
Very good for them.
Yeah, no, they deserve it. I think that's why they're kind of, I mean, they broke out in the SiriusXM stuff, and then they started getting all those DWP fests, which makes sense.
NASCAR fucking video game.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. That stuff is nuts. It's cool as shit. Like, it's cooler seeing heavy alternative music integrated in these very mainstream things. I'll take any of that I can get.
I'd like to see Holofront in like a wrestling video game. That'd be sick.
Yeah, I know, like, The Funeral Portrait was on AEW, like, as, like, a video package thing. I would love to see Holofront on an AEW thing. I'd be stoked. I'm watching the pay-per-view tonight. I'm stoked.
because, you know, screw WWE. We don't care about that anymore.
I'm with you. Yes. my second song on there is Static Dress, who is honestly one of my favorite current bands. They put out a new single called Sober Exits. If you haven't listened to that band, they're straight out of like 2003, and they're amazing. They're from the UK. They were supposed to come over here this year on a tour, but I think the COVID stuff still being kind of weird for overseas people coming over, I think that's why it didn't happen. I could be wrong. It's also very expensive for either American bands go to Europe, your bands go to America. It is very expensive, so maybe that played a part in it. I know they're doing some like huge tours over there and fests and everything, so maybe they just got a better offer in their homeland. It's definitely possible. But if you haven't listened to that band, check it out. The only thing that bums me out is they haven't released a record. It's just been a collection of singles. I think it's been like 5 or 6 singles, which have all been amazing. I just want a record from them. That's all I want. But
it's a Spotify thing, man. Everyone does
singles now. I know, so I'm waiting for that, but we'll see when we get there. Probably next year, maybe. We'll see. Next, Slipknot, new single. I was not expecting that. I just saw them a little while ago, and that was awesome. They put on a great show. It was the second time I've seen them, but they are flawless live. And there's
the song good.
Song is actually, it's one of my favorite singles they've put out since like the golden era of Slipknot.
Damn, I'm gonna have to listen to it.
It definitely feels more like Volume 3 era Slipknot. To me personally, it's not like, okay. I know everyone,
I can deal with that.
I know Corey Taylor comes out and says, oh, our next record is going to be heavier than Iowa, which Corey, nothing's going to be heavier than Iowa. You guys all hated each other. You guys were all pissed off. Now you all have money.
Drugs.
That too. You know, now you guys get along. You guys are all sober, probably mostly, and shit like that. Like, it's different. Like, you shouldn't be angry. Like, you should not be angry.
Rich.
Yeah. So
you weren't as rich then.
Oh, definitely not. That was like at the pinnacle of their career, but I think they were still, you know, kind of making it. And they dealt with like a bunch of family loss and stuff like that came through. Like, I watched this documentary when the 20th anniversary or the 10th anniversary of Iowa, the 20th anniversary was this year, but the 10th anniversary, my friend got me the 10th anniversary edition that came with a documentary in it. And it showed like, and they like literally hated each other during the time of this record, which I think is why the record is so just full of hate and anger. But definitely I like most of the singles because they still sound like Slipknot. It's kind of just like they've progressed to be like more radio, I guess, but still, they're still Slipknot to me.
I didn't hate The Devil and I.
Yeah, it's a good song. But this song, like I said, sounds more like Volume 3-ish. If I had to, I don't think they're ever going to play anything like Iowa. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Top five live bands I've ever seen, because Slipknot is just...
They are good. And they're...
I saw them with Joey Jordison. I saw them with Jay Weinberg.
I've only seen them with Jay, which is a bummer.
I mean, they're good.
Yeah, and their setup for this last tour was absolutely insane, too. Like, their whole stage setup had, like, LEDs that changed throughout the whole thing. It was very impressive and very, very cool. And Killswitch played direct support, which was phenomenal. Code Orange.
What more do you want?
Yeah, Code Orange opened and Fever 333 played, which I like Fever 333, but every time I see them, I just want to see Let Live. So that's my problem with them. Which is not really a problem. It's just I love Let Live, so that's a me problem, not a them problem. A few more. Greyhaven just bought a new single called All Candy. Band is very, if you've never listened to them, very Norma Jean ish in ways. Some Every Time I Die in it too. They're on Equal Vision. Very, very cool band. They're on tour with CSA's Cowboy, Vatican, and Wrist Meets Razor right now, which I'm going to be seeing them in a few weeks.
We're actually playing a show with Greyhaven and December with Miss May I.
Yes. Fuck yeah. I remember seeing that. That's a sick show. So congrats to both of you on that, because that was very, very cool. That'll be a cool show. Both
Christmas and like every toy that's donated, they get a free piece of Miss May I merch. So
wow.
Pretty fucking sweet. That's cool. Sweet gig. I'm excited to play it.
That's really, really cool. If you're in the where is that? Is it in
Dayton, Ohio?
I knew it was in the Midwest.
Bring a toy, come to the show, give a toy, you'll get a free shirt or free whatever. Boom. And you give charities for kids, you know?
Yeah, you can't say no to the kids, all right? Don't say no to the kids. No Bragging Rights released the new single off their forthcoming EP on Pure Noise. I love No Bragging Rights. They're amazing human beings, and I just love their band. So anytime they put a new song, it's going to get added because I listen to it. I've heard a few other songs. I was booking them before I got out too. Sadly, I never got to do anything with them because it happened during the pandemic. And then by the time the pandemic was over, I was out of the game. And it's very good. But I mean, there's three songs out now, so I guess you can kind of place a judgment that's going to be pretty good. And then the last song, this came out a few weeks ago, but Kublai Khan released a new single, which is just heavier than, you know, it's Kublai Khan. It's heavy. Like that's all I gotta say. There, it's a heavy song. It's very good. If you like heavy bands, listen to that song. And
they're out with the Acacia Strain right now.
Yep. It's still. I think it just started like last week.
Started.
Yeah, because I know it's ending near Albany in near my parts ish, in December.
Cool.
Yeah. Very cool. I just saw them on their headliner tour a few months ago. I think it was my first show back, actually.
Kublai Khan?
Yeah, it was Kublai Khan, I Am, and was it just them? I feel like there's another band on it. Maybe not. I don't remember. But we went to the New Jersey show because Born Anew opened. And
dope.
So we went and saw them. It was cool. First show back from the pandemic. It was nice. It was good to see a lot of familiar faces. The Orthodox dudes were there because they were recording. It was cool. It was good. Oh, Chamber. That's the band who opened it. I was like, I know there's another band.
Just saw them. Oh, they're playing with a band from the same vicinity as Sleep Waker. They're playing a band. They're playing a show with them and Gideon.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. That's awesome. Hell yeah. Gideon rocks too. So on to these Disney Plus Day announcements. So there's kind of a lot. So I'm just going through the Marvel stuff. There is plenty other stuff. They announced some new Pixar stuff. Just some straight up Disney things, everything like that. But I'm going to focus on the Marvel side because in their graphic, it was like 16 Disney Plus properties. Some have already been announced. It was just kind of an update on them. But here's what they announced. Going to go through them. And then after I go through these, I just want to hear your thoughts on them, what you're most excited about. And then we're going to go into the what we saw new of in this presentation. So what got announced was X-Men 97, which is a continuation of the OG animated series with some of the same voice actors and the same creators, which is incredible. We're getting Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is an animated show that's going to be MCU canon and serve as a prequel to the Peter Parker that we know that Tom Holland has been portraying, which is also really cool. Sucks for everyone who didn't want to see Uncle Ben die again, because probably going to see it. a spinoff of WandaVision, Agatha House of Harkness is coming with Jack Schaefer, who showrun WandaVision, is returning to showrun this, which is awesome. Marvel Zombies, which is also going to be animated, which I'm guessing will be a spinoff of the What If episode that we saw. We are getting What If Season 2. We're getting an I Am Groot animated series, which I guess from what I've heard is going to be also a prequel series to Before He Met the Guardians, which could be very interesting. I think it's mostly going to be mostly for kids, but it could surprise us and have some really cool stuff in it. Loki Season 2, which we got from the Loki after credit scene that we were going to get a Season 2, but they're officially including it with this new bunch of announcements. And then we got new logos for Ironheart, Secret Invasion, and then we got the first looks at She-Hulk, Moon Knight, and Ms. Marvel. But before we get into those first looks, what from this list excited you the most? Because there's a lot.
Oh, shit.
It's hard, I know.
So Marvel Zombies got me excited just because that episode, my son loves zombies, so we watched the episode together.
Perfect.
And it was like, oh, I can't wait to just... For one, I couldn't wait to tell him when I did. He was so excited. So I can't wait to watch that.
That's awesome.
Shit. Loki season two, because that's just one of the best, you know, one of the best.
So movies. Good.
And the whole MCU, it's right up there with, you know, like Endgame and Infinity War and shit. It's, oh, shit. What were some other ones?
Were you an X-Men fan when you were a kid?
That excites me. I don't think it excites me as much as like the new properties, like
that's fair.
Night or
that's fair.
Any of those, like the ones that we saw the teasers for. There was another one you just said that I can't think of it. The freshman year Spider-Man. I'm kind of interested. I'm interested to see, because the whatever animation. I don't know if that's going to be the style, but probably not. But whatever they showed, it was like very like old school, like comic book.
Yeah, they said, I think someone else said that it's going to be in the style of like the 60s Spider-Man animation, which is interesting.
It's strange, but
yeah.
House of Harkness.
That
has me very excited just because WandaVision was amazing.
Yep.
Hawkeye, obviously that's coming really soon, so I'm super excited for that one.
A few weeks.
She-Hulk, I'm excited probably for all of them, But like those ones are like those, like they're just interesting stories, and
yeah.
You can tell that they're going to be bringing characters. Like, I don't know, it's not confirmed, but I feel like Matt Murdock's coming into She-Hulk. Like
I think I totally glossed over Echo that you brought up Matt Murdock. I think Daredevil's going to come in the Echo series.
Okay, yeah, Echo. See, I don't know anything about Echo. I was seeing some of your comments that it's like a death character.
Yeah, it's a deaf character who Kingpin kills her father and then like adopts her, and she works for Kingpin until she kind of realizes that he's a complete and utter villain and ends up becoming kind of an anti-hero. But she's going to be in Hawkeye, so it's going to be a spinoff off of Hawkeye. We've seen very little of her in the trailers, but she's supposed to be. So I know a lot of people were pissed off about the Taskmaster thing in Black Widow, her abilities, not his abilities, were more of because of like the chip in her head and like the visor kind of Iron Man style of fighting styles. So Echo has the same ability where it's kind of like photo reflex and she can just mimic people's fighting styles. So I think that's kind of why they made that Taskmaster choice, so they didn't have two people with the exact same abilities. So I'm gonna guess we'll get that seeing it, but yeah, she is deaf. And another thing about like talking a little bit about Hawkeye that's coming up is that he's been there was a scene shown in this whole presentation. It was like a really long scene from Hawkeye and a couple more new shots that we haven't seen in trailers. And while he's hotwiring her car, Kate Bishop's trying to talk to him and he's like, I can't hear you. And in the comics, especially, something happens to his hearing and he has to get a hearing aid, and people saw him with a hearing aid in some of the trailers and promotional footage. So I think that's going to happen, and that can be another way Hawkeye kind of relates to Echo and how it becomes more of a anti-hero more than she's just a straight up villain and everything like that. So it's exciting, but I'm hoping that Kingpin comes into Hawkeye. I'm hoping, and I hope it's Vincent D'Onofrio from the Daredevil show.
They there's just no way that they wouldn't, because he's perfect.
So good. and that.
Perfect.
And then maybe we see Matt Murdock and not Daredevil in Spider-Man No Way Home. Maybe. Maybe. I know there's rumors out there.
I feel like I got a
We'll see.
The internet cannot live without knowing things. They must know.
I hate that, dude. I tweeted from the Twitter, the Mel Corner's Twitter the other day, saying that I'm not a fan of leaks and leaking certain secret casting news that's supposed to be kept a secret. Because, and honestly, I said that it's a shock that we get surprised by anything anymore, because everything gets leaked nowadays. Like, how did we know nothing about Endgame and Infinity War? I don't know. Maybe Marvel itself is just better at it.
I actively disregard at, like, so many things. Like, I just don't, like, that's why I don't deep dive anymore. It's like,
that's fair. That's so fair. Yeah.
I don't want to know until after. Like, once the movie's out, then I'll kind of deep dive into it after I've already seen it. But I'm not trying to. There's people out there that are way more nosy than me, and they find shit out and they tell you.
Yeah, that's why I had to make the post in the group being like, I know there's images out there, do not share them in here, because I'm sure half of us don't want to see them. So if you want to go find them,
I'm not happy about it.
Go find them, you know. But it's
find them.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy to find them. There's videos on YouTube breaking them down. Like, it's easy. It's insanely easy. But then we got first looks in this whole sizzle reel of, like, how you're talking about She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, and Moon Knight. And I know some people were, most people are very excited about what we saw. And I saw other people kind of let down by them, which I can see either way. That's kind of just personal preference. To me, I was very stoked. Moon Knight, which is, I don't know everything about Moon Knight, but he's kind of like the Batman of Marvel. But here's the kicker. He has dissociative identity disorder. So it's, if you've seen the movie Split, it's the same thing.
Yep.
So different personalities take over his body. And then he gets kind of possessed by this Egyptian god called Khonshu that gives him powers that work around the cycle of the moon, hence Moon Knight. But in newer comics, which I've actually read some of them, which this is crazy, Max Bemis of Say Anything wrote a run of Moon Knight, which is, I saw it on when I bought it.
Cool.
When I bought it, and I'm like, wait, Bemis? I was like, Max Bemis? I looked it up and it's him. Which is awesome, because I know he has some sort of kind of mental illness that's similar, I think. Or something. So it's super cool that someone who has, like, a real life mental illness wrote a character like Moon Knight. But in the newer comics, they kind of even frame that his powers are all in his mind. And it seems like they're not shying away from the whole mental illness of this, even from this brief glimpse. We barely saw any of this. And it definitely looks like they're not shying away from this. And we saw in, like, WandaVision, they're not afraid to go into, like, or Falcon and Winter Soldier, very different, but they're not shying away from these important things, and that things are very real. So I'm super excited to see this show, especially with someone like Oscar Isaac, who is just an unbelievable actor. Like,
Dune. Can't go wrong with Oscar Isaac. I just watched Dune last night, and it was amazing, you know?
I'm doing an episode next week on Dune, and
hell yeah.
That movie is...
Oscar Isaac is, you know, and I feel like he's poorly utilized in the Star Wars movies, but that's another conversation. But
agreed, but yes.
when I heard he was attached to Moon Knight, I was instantly just excited, you know?
Like, me too.
Moon Knight is another character I don't know anything about that I'm just excited to learn by watching the show.
Yeah, he is awesome. Super interesting. Like which is even just why I went over. It's like a very different kind of thing to dive into. I'm going to talk more about Moon Knight at the end of this episode with some things that happen in the after credit scenes that are probably going to link together. I thought She-Hulk looked cool. We barely saw anything, but I'm very interested to see where the show goes.
I saw somebody in the group that was like, it looks like shit. And I'm like, you didn't see any of it. You know, it's like, I'm excited. It's something different. Going back to, like, it's like a procedural, like, lawyer show, but
exactly.
But at the same time, it'll do what MCU does best. And, like, it'll all tie together.
Yep. Abomination is supposed to be in it. And the scene we see of Smart Hulk, I posted this in the group yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He has both of his arms are fine. So yep. that scene had to have happened before Endgame, which is interesting.
She-Hulk probably takes place somewhere between the 5 years.
It could be, or it could that could just be a flashback. Maybe she got snapped or something. Or yeah, I don't think she. No, she wouldn't have got snapped because he didn't become smart until after it. So she had to have survived the snap. So I take that back. But it would be interesting to see if they explain if that does happen before the battle for Thanos. Where was she when she fought when they fought Thanos?
And the credit scene for Shang-Chi. He's not.
Yeah, he's human.
More Hulk anymore. He's human, which, and he's got his arm in a sling.
Yeah, which I'm guessing they're gonna address that in She-Hulk as well. Which I'm also excited to see, like why he went back to human, or can he control going from human to Smart Hulk again? We'll see.
Yeah,
I'm hoping for more answers for that. I know Abomination's gonna be in it, who we also saw in Shang-Chi for 2 seconds. Could lead more into my Thunderbolts. Well, it's kind of like the internet's Thunderbolts theory at this point. That we're getting to that. And then we saw a little bit of Ms. Marvel, which looks just adorable. And I feel like it's going to be very big with kids, which I'm stoked for. Because the most things I know about Ms. Marvel is I played the Avengers game. And the story of her through that was really, really cool.
Yep. I liked her.
Yeah, awesome character. So, you know, it's...
I did notice that they're not going to do the stretch, though. They're not doing stretch.
Yeah, they're doing it... Yeah, like Green Lantern is where she can form different stuff.
Like a cosmic power.
Yeah. Which I guess if
it's kinda cool.
They're tying her in with Monica Rambeau and Captain Marvel, so I guess it kinda makes sense. They're all going to be together in the Captain Marvel sequel, the Marvels. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's exciting. Like you said, we're getting a lot of different stuff coming out.
It's crazy.
But now I think we can get into the Eternals. We can finally talk about this.
Yep.
Awesome. So I want to go a little bit over box office stuff. It made $71 million opening weekend domestically and $161 million internationally, which domestically it was the fourth biggest opening since the pandemic or this year. I guess you can really say it's kind of both. And then it was the second biggest international opening, which this movie obviously has been... It's weird because... I don't even want to say it's divisive because at least through most people that I've seen, they've either loved it, liked it, or kind of were like, hey, it's not the worst MCU movie, but
right. It's
not my favorite, which is a fine thing to say, especially in today's day and age of if you include the series, there's like 29 entries in the MCU or something at this point.
Right.
So saying, hey, it's in like the middle of the pack. I mean, that's a pretty... like high standard to say that's not taking anything away from it. That's
right.
I would say that's pretty good.
In Dark World.
Yeah. You know, it's like, and my stance on the MCU is there's no MCU movie I don't like. There's just ones I like more than others. And there's some,
right.
And then there's ones I like a lot more than others, you know, but that's
absolutely
that's fine. Some people may not have that take. I mean, some people think Incredible Hulk is one of the best MCU movies there is, which is fine. I do not. But no. But
it's hard for me to even connect it, but
yeah.
It's so hard.
It is hard being completely different actor. It makes it very difficult. Like obviously we've gotten the Rhodey switch, and I know Cassie Lang is going to be a different actress for the next Ant-Man movie and stuff like that, but those, I mean, she was in two scenes in Endgame that are very short, so yeah,
very
switching
short
the scenes. No one's good. I bet half the people that watch it aren't going to be like, hey, that's a different person. You know what I mean? Like, it's no one's going to care. No one cares. But when it's a main character of a movie, and then when they come back, it's different. I can see why it's hard for you to connect it to both, but it's almost made its production budget back already. I'm sure by next weekend, it probably would have made more than it, which is very good. I know a lot of people have been trying to compare, like Shang-Chi has said, like, oh, it's made less than Ant-Man. And it's like, well, it's not the same times we're in right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah, it's like
every theater isn't even open. People still don't want to go to theaters. Like yesterday when Shang-Chi went on Disney Plus, my Facebook feed was flooded with people watching Shang-Chi for the first time. So it's like some people don't want to go to the movies, and that's fine. If you don't feel safe, don't go. Nothing wrong with that at all. But to compare it to non-COVID numbers is just ridiculous. And if the movie is in the green, making money, People are talking about it. That's a win. Like,
they'll get back to their billion-dollar movies, but it's going to take some time.
It's going to take until Spider-Man, I think. And I think that'll make $1 billion.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone's gonna like, everyone's going to be like, screw it. We don't care if we get COVID. We're going to see Spider-Man.
Yeah, and that's another thing about Spider-Man that just got announced today. The new trailer is coming out on Tuesday, but they're doing a special event in L.A. where you can go see the trailer in a theater in L.A. Like, that's how hyped this movie is that they're going to do a showing of a trailer.
I was terrified that Eternals, that there was going to be a trailer. I was scared and excited because I didn't know if they were going to play a Spider-Man trailer.
Oh.
Every trailer that came, I was like, is it going to be it? No. Is it going to? No, it's not. And then if the movie comes, I'm like, all right. I like sighed. I was like a sigh of relief. I was like, I can't handle any more surprise. Any more like surprises before the movie comes out?
Yeah, it's tough. I'm interested to see what they do with this trailer, to see how they kind of play with that. Because I'll give them one thing: they've done a great of not doing much marketing and have it be the most talked about movies at least since Endgame. Like, everyone is talking about this fucking movie. Like, you know, like, I've never seen someone so been like, "When's the next trailer coming out?" To me, I'm like, if it comes out, cool. I don't even really care about another trailer. I'm going to see the fucking movie. Like,
bro, that's the thing. I didn't even want the first trailer. I was like, I don't want to know anything. I just, because
the first trailer was amazing, you know? Though. The like,
I mean, of course, that's my problem. Is,
yeah, like, you watch it and you're like, man, that was awesome. You know,
but before it came out, I was like, I don't want to watch a single Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. I'm just gonna go into that movie blind. But as soon as the trailer dropped, I'm like, immediately going to YouTube.
You know? Oh, of course. Yeah. That's one thing I will say about, especially like since Shang-Chi and Eternals, is they've done a very good job of keeping things close to the vest of the actual movie. Like, those movies both completely hid the third act completely.
Right.
There's a big switch in this movie. I'm going to go over a brief overview of the movie, but I'm going to stop pretty much when the switch happens in the movie. And then we can kind of talk about our basic thoughts and kind of really, really dive into it. So, the movie brings us to the beginning of all life in the creation of the MCU. The Celestials kind of created the universe themselves, and they bring the Eternals to Earth to protect Earth from the Deviants. And that's kind of like the main crux of the movie. We see them in ancient times killing the Deviants, protecting the humans, but they're not supposed to interfere with anything unless the Deviants are involved. They're supposed to let the humans kind of do their thing and learn and grow themselves, basically. Then we go to modern time when the Eternals are living normal lives, seemingly, and because they think for thousands of years the Eternals, that the Deviants have been wiped out, and they learn that the Deviants are still here, and that kind of drives everyone to get back together and rejoin the team of the Eternals that they were originally come up on. And then that's when the big kind of switch in the movie happens. But I want to go into your general thoughts overall of the movie before we kind of talk about the switch, because that switch in the movie can either get you super sucked in or kind of lose you, because it's kind of a lot. So let's just hear your general thoughts of the movie before we get into that.
I would say because I went into it with a very, like, not a low expectation, but just no expectation. You know, I didn't know what to expect.
Yep.
And the whole, like, setup and, like, they have to pretty much explain it. You know, there's a lot of exposition in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But that's because there's 10 main characters and, you know, like, multiple – they're introducing multiple themes and arcs, story arcs into this movie that are going to basically set up the next
movies
and shows and whatever. So, you know, I don't think I like the slow beginning, kind of how like Cersei is working at the museum, or,
yep,
you know, as like a teacher or something like that. And she's, you know, and Sprite's like there, and like, we get that kind of like intimate view, like between their relationship, and
yep,
it starts like, it switches pretty quick, you know, it starts
yeah.
to get crazy, you know, and introducing Dane Whitman, obviously he's gonna be a big character.
Yep.
Just establishing that, like, there's this relationship she had with Icarus, and, you know, just kind of like planting the seed of what's to come for the movie.
That's clever wordplay.
I enjoyed this movie. You know, that's just overall, I enjoyed this movie.
Yep.
So pretty much up until, like, I mean, everything catches my, you know, I had a great experience watching, but I had to also have this person in the front row that was on their phone. So that kind of sucked. But I still enjoyed, you know, I just put one finger in one ear and I was like, all right, I'm just going to try to focus.
Damn, that sucks. People, don't do that. Don't do that in the movie theater. Wait till after the movie. You can wait 2 hours. It's fine.
Right. They were one of those people that were just, they didn't give a shit, you know?
That's awful.
But it was still good. And I enjoyed the almost quest factor that they have to, like, kind of find the other members.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was cool. And introducing the deviants, like, because they thought they killed them all. You know, they
pretty much, like, thought they were gone.
Oh, we kill them. We're just going to kind of chill at Earth for a while until our boss says, come home.
We're good. Yeah.
But, like, you know, the fact that they kind of resurfaced and that new threat is, you know, they have to get together now. They can't. They've all kind of been avoiding each other, you know, like.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
They've all split off and done their own things because they've spent 7,000 years on this planet watching the humans kill each other.
Yeah, exactly. And then we kind of get to I share most of the sentiments. I really, really enjoyed this movie. It was like, it was something, I can't even say what it was, but there was something missing that brought me to, like, oh, this movie is incredible. And it was on the cusp of just being a phenomenal movie. But I will say it was really, really good. I love the themes it plays. And honestly, I think it did a really good job of totally introducing us into 10 characters and kind of knowing all of them and knowing, you know, all of their viewpoints and what they wanted out of life and their purpose and everything. And this movie was beyond gorgeous. It was just beautiful to even look at. It was crazy, especially for an MCU movie. It's the last two movies they've put out are very much, and they're very different movies from each other, but they're very much movies that could have totally existed outside of the MCU. If you took the Marvel stuff out of it, like, Shang-Chi just could have been a full-on kung fu movie. That was that could be a franchise by itself. Same with Eternals. It could just been a weird sci-fi movie that dealt with all these weird space gods and shit. And which is, I like that. I like, some people said that the MCU references kind of took them out of the movie in a way, but to me, it just made me feel more connected to everything, and it kind of gave this background and backdrop to, oh, this is why they weren't there, Battle of New York, or when Thanos came, either time, or anything like
Dane
that.
Dane asked Cersei, you know, why didn't you guys fight Thanos and shit? And she's like, we can't, like, we're told not to by our boss, you know, Irshim, the judge.
And another good point is, at that time, like you were saying, they've all split off. They haven't, a lot of them haven't, they haven't been together in, like, thousands of years, you know? So it would have been kind of like, oh, like, what were they going to do? Like, you kind of saw how long it took them to kind of gather one together. You think they were going to get that fast enough to get to Wakanda and help out with Thanos? Like, nah, they would have been way too late. They would have not made it in time. Maybe some of them or something. But again, like,
right at the beginning of this movie, they're all, like, super loyal. You know, they're all like, they're there for a job. They're not
exactly.
You know, obviously they've integrated into society and kind of evolved. You know, from what they've become, you know, what they were to what they become, you know, and so there's definitely that arc, you know, of starting where they're, this is our job, and then to where they get to be like, fuck our job, you know, kind of like, you know?
it got to a point where they're like, well, I mean, we did our job, so I guess we just gotta wait. So I guess we'll just hang out with the humans and see what happens, you know? But then
they, you know, cause they do influence history. Cause they,
for sure.
There's a lot of Greek parallels.
Oh yeah.
Greek mythology parallels. And like with Festus, you know, all the inventions that he was creating to kind of boost humanity.
I love that scene where he made, like, the,
it was like the wheel, or no, it was like steam engine.
The steam engine, and they're like, this is too advanced. He's like, they get a plow. I thought it was amazing. Like, here's a plow. And he's like so bummed because he was so stoked he invented this. He's like, well, there's a plow, whatever. And then we get to a point in the movie, and this is where I say there's like a big shift where we see that they're finally starting to get everyone together. And we see a flashback to 6 days ago where Icarus visits Ajak. This is after they go to find Ajak and she's dead. And they're like, oh, the Deviants killed her, which isn't a lie per se. Right. But Icarus finds out that, like, oh, hey, we completed our job. And really what the Celestials do is they bring the Eternals there to fight off the Deviants so that life forms can inhabit these planets and continue to populate. And the more they populate, the more it empowers a Celestial inside of the planet. And then at a certain point, it explodes the planet and a Celestial is born so they can give birth to more galaxies and planets and all like that. So it's like a big recurring cycle of creating new Celestials and new life while destroying it. And then this all kind of happens when Cersei finally gets the ball from Ajak that communicates with the Celestial. She was the leader. She was the one who communicated. She picked Cersei to be the next one in line. So that's why she got it. And Eris...
why would she pick... She wouldn't pick Icarus.
Yeah, she kind of knew he was... that dude was loyal to death. And Icarus realized that there was still deviants. They were frozen in Alaska, and he like feeds them to the deviants basically. And that's how when we see the one deviant, he stole Ajax's power, and that's how he could heal. So we kind of learn that the Eternals can steal, or the deviants can steal some of the Eternals' powers. But then as Arishem's telling all this, he's like, yeah, you're not really gods. You're weird synthetic space beings that are here to serve this purpose to create new Celestials. And once you're done with this mission, we wipe your memories, upload your memories to the machine. There is no Olympia. You're from this big cosmic machine, and that's where you're created. And that scene was very like Blade Runner and like Westworld esque. It was when that was happening, I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I can see where that can kind of lose people, because you're already kind of learning a lot and they're like, oh yeah, here's all this stuff where they're not really, you know, they're synthetic.
There's a lot
droids. It's a ton in this movie. So when people are like, man, like I'm still trying to like figure it out, and I was like, I get it. Like it's a lot to take in. And basically Ajak wanted to stop the emergence. Icarus was like, nah, and that's why he fed her to the... And then that's how Cersei finds out that everything was coming to be. Well, more that the emergence was happening. The Icarus, full-on Icarus betrayal doesn't happen until a little later. So she's kind of forcing more to get everyone together so they can stop this emergence and save Earth. Because for some reason, they want to save us, even though a lot of us suck. it's just a joke. But some of us do suck. people can be terrible. So... again, a lot happens in this movie, but I liked every time this Arishem came on screen, I was like, whoa. Like, every time, I was like, holy fuck. So the way...
My favorite scene was when Ajak first...
Oh, like the...
Like, and she just... Because she's, like, this big, and...
Yeah,
like,
it's just his head.
It's just his face.
Yeah.
And then it, like, zooms out, and you're like, holy shit.
Dude, those scenes are gnarly. They were so cool. Like, again, it's more to how this movie looked, but even the CGI in this movie was like crazy. Like, I cannot believe how just...
It didn't take me out at all. Like, there's not a moment where I'm like, oh, that looks bad, you know?
Yeah, like not the deviants, but the Celestials looked so dominating. It was just crazy to look at them and see the scale of them. But basically, the kind of the movie ends with, you know, Icarus trying to stop them. Sprite goes with them, and it's a big battle. But the big
Kingo dips out.
Yeah, Kingo's like, which some people sent in some questions on Twitter, which we're gonna go through, and that was one of them. So I'll wait to kind of get to the Kingo thing.
Okay.
And he said, like, so they're fighting Icarus. Sprite goes with them, and Icarus says, like, he lets love take over his purpose in life, which his purpose was to serve Arishem. And he realized that the love is more important, but the conflict kind of ruins him as they finally take out, what was his name? Tiamat? Something like that? Yeah, Tiamat.
Yep.
They take him out. Cersei forms the Unimind and turns them all to granite, which is crazy that, like, the head and hands of a Celestial are just poking out of the earth. Which I described in the MCU, because all this crazy shit happens. That's just a Tuesday for them, because, you know, this is the planet where just aliens come and invade and half of life disappears.
And people are going to vacation there.
Probably. Yeah. They're going to set up some tents. A
little boat tour.
Dude, honestly, good call. But it was so fun. They're like, it's so crazy that this is like canonically part of the MCU. And I was like, that's like a Tuesday for them. I was like, they've seen crazier shit. It's just normal. Yeah, and that's basically how it ends. Besides, we'll go into the cliffhanger with the after credit scene. So I want to go into these questions. We'll answer them together, get both of our thoughts in them. The page Scottish Murder said, does every character get enough screen time so we know them? Is the storyline easy to follow? Storyline, in a way, yes, but I can see
how you watch it.
You really have to pay attention, and you really have to be like engaged into it, because I can see where it can be very overwhelming and very confusing. They switch between time a lot, going back in the past, but the stuff in the past usually relates to the stuff that's happening in present time. So it kind of ends together. They even do, they'll say like Babylon, blah, 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 the year. So it's not like they're just like flashing back and forth. They let you know when they're doing it. So in that way it is, but it is a lot to take in. I do think they gave at least every screen time of the character so you at least knew who they were and kind of what their goals were or what they were looking for. There was definitely some I wish I got more screen time of, but I kind of don't like to make those complaints in the MCU, because 9 times out of 10, we're going to see more of them. And we're going to see them in like 10 other movies or whatever. You know, like we're going to be seeing these characters for a decade plus. So it's hard for me to be like, oh... But I can actively say, I wish I saw more of them, and I can't wait to see more of them. Like Makari, like Druig, even Kingo. I'm excited to see more of them. Even Fastos. Because Icarus and Cersei are the main characters. Like, straight up. Right. They're the main characters of this movie. Even Sprite, to a degree. So they get the most screen time out of anyone. Ajak got cut off pretty short. But it made sense for the story.
I think the flashbacks that she was in kind of, it really lent to her character and kind of, because like she really does die quickly in that movie. Like,
yeah, you know, and it was shocking.
Like the end of the first act is where she dies.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, oh shit, like there's something out here sucking us. You know, because they realized that they weren't hunting humans anymore. They were hunting them.
Eternals, yeah.
You know, they were hunting Eternals. They weren't hunting humans anymore. So it was the blatant attacks, you know, on certain people. And like, I think that they did a really good job of like showing Ajax character through
flashbacks,
Yeah.
Like being the leader and the healer and everything like that. Like you could tell
with Arishem, her like, and her, the little dance that she did with Sprite in the kitchen, you could just tell that she was like a loving person. And
like
very,
she was like the mom. Yeah, she was the mom of the group.
The mom.
Weird to say, or not weird to say, but kind of an off topic from the actual movie, but apparently she signed like a 3-picture deal with Marvel, so.
Prequel shit for sure then.
Or, I'm guessing they can just take her memories and upload it into a different body. Like,
true.
You know, it's not like they're humans or anything. Like, these are just like, they're That's basically true. Space robots. So any character who died, they can bring him back in this movie, you know?
And to think about it, Arishem probably does.
Yeah. You know, like
she was like his prime.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Like, so we could see some of these characters back. Another thing I kind of like, I definitely skimmed over the broad strokes of the movie against a lot of movie. I'll go this in my favorite Eternals. I can skip this. We'll go back. Next question. JVD from Villains Demand. Shout out to JVD. He said, knowing their origin and that of the Deviants, should the Eternals have revealed what was going on to Crow and gain an ally in the last act? This is a very interesting question. Because at one point,
I thought they were.
They kind of tried to. But I don't think Thena was a good one to try and do that, because for one, she was out for redemption. Two, she's going fucking crazy. Not crazy, she's like losing her mind.
Memories.
Yeah. Which is, I was going to go into more of this, but we can go to a little bit more now. But in the comics, I think Cersei got the same thing. And I wish they kind of alluded to it, but in the comics they explained it more of like what you said, is that they're living so many years and so many lifetimes, especially at this point, because they're probably not used to being on a planet for that long. And in the comics their kind of purpose was a little bit different. They made planets go through like trials rather than just like, oh, there's a celestial seed and it blows up your planet. They made that a little different, which is fine. Like, who cares? The MCU changes everything with the comics. They're not going to tell the same story. They're just not.
Exactly. But
the way they explained it is like, you know, it's like all those, which I guess they kind of explained without explaining. They just didn't hand feed it to you. I just kind of wish we got like one more line being like, oh, it's all the lives she led. And like, that's what's messing with her brain. But her whole thing with Athena and Gilgamesh was, I loved it. Some people criticize Angelina Jolie's acting in this movie. I personally loved it because even Sam put this into like a bigger perspective than I even thought of. It's like, she was the one that kind of had to play a full on like God the whole movie, because everyone else progressed and integrated into human life. Even Gilgamesh, like, he's cooking them dinner. Like, you know, he was dealing with like people and, you know, building relationships to like do his thing to take care of Athena. But Athena was the one that was still stuck, like being a full blown Eternal. Like, it was only her that was stuck doing that. And she had to like act like that. Like, she's just like still that God who's here to do a mission, but she's also fighting with herself because she goes through these attacks of not knowing what's going on. You know, it's like,
trying to kill her friend.
Yeah, she basically like had like dementia or something like that, you know, if we compare it to like real life, which to me, I was like, man, that's like heartbreaking that like, and he as like a person was like, I love her. I'm going to take care of her. Like, don't worry. We got this. And it was like a cool like Hulk moment when she's like, give me your hand, like a Black Widow and Hulk moment, like her calming down Banner.
Too. I saw the parallel,
which was really
being like, you know, chill.
Which is really cool. That's like, I mean, they did that on purpose, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was really cool. But I kind of would have liked to see if the Deviants maybe teamed up, but I think they were kind of too far gone after Crow murked two of them.
They were just too. Plus, I think he. I mean, that's some power that he was gaining. You know, he was kind of addicted to that. You know,
sure.
Just because he. Just because they had the same enemy doesn't mean that anything's changed. You know, he just wants to destroy Eternal.
Yeah, dude. And that's the one thing, I think my biggest criticism of this movie was the Deviants' involvement. And it wasn't even, it was just, they were just kind of there. Because
Crow shouldn't have died. They should have, he should
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
I wanted to see like the next evolution. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Interesting.
I thought he would have killed at least
a few more.
Four.
I thought he was going, there was close points where I was like, yo, half this team's going to die. You know, I was like, oh shit. I was like, they're killing everyone. Cause after you see Ajak die in the beginning, which is to me was completely unexpected. I was like, oh fuck. She's dead. Where do we go from here? Like, what is going on?
I was surprised that Angelina Jolie survived, to be honest.
Me too. I thought she was done. I thought she was done. I was sad to see Gilgamesh go. He was awesome. That dude is.
That was a bummer for me because he was a great character.
He was such a good character. Next question. Super Ghost Radio says, does this movie stack up against the other Marvel heavy hitters? Let me get your thoughts on this before I weigh in. What do you think?
I think for me it's a middle of the road movie. Mm. It is. It's very like, I think it's a good setup. You know, it's like a lot of those first movies were kind of just setup movies.
Yes.
You know? Captain America. I mean, I love all these movies. That's why. But the long list, like you said, 29 something. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it doesn't, to me, this movie doesn't stack up to an Infinity War.
Right.
But neither did the first Avengers, you know? Like,
yep.
So it's kind of like, I'm excited to see the progression of where these
yes.
movies or where these characters, you know, whether they're in other movies or not, or other series or whatever they do with them. But I'm excited to see them when there's like when Kang the Conqueror, or, you know, like when the next really big thing, because this is nothing. Like you said, it's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's just an Eternal, or there's just a Celestial coming out of the planet. And like, it's just like, oh, you know, well, they stopped it. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty much the same. It is very much in the middle, kind of like the high middle, I think, of movies. I thought it was a very, very good movie, but it didn't blow me away like Shang-Chi did. It didn't blow me away like Loki did. It does ask a ton of interesting questions that not a lot of past phases have asked, where it's like a lot about humanity and morality and purpose and stuff like that, which is, I think it's...
Some of the themes and some of the, like, introducing their very first, like, a homosexual, like,
yeah,
relationship character and like, having that on screen, you know? Like,
yeah.
So they did a lot of new things in this movie that they weren't doing before. Because I think they don't have to play it as safe anymore, you know?
No.
They can do whatever the fuck they want.
And this cast is ungodly diverse. It's the most diverse cast we've probably seen in a superhero movie ever. You got everything, which would make sense that a creator of Earth would create these people to look like everyone and not just a fucking white dude. You know what I mean? Like, of course they would look like everyone. And it's super dope that we got Lauren Ridloff, who is an actual deaf actress, as a deaf character. And then we're going to get another deaf character in Echo, which is really, really cool. She's also, Lauren Ridloff is in The Walking Dead, which I still watch The Walking Dead. I know I'm
so far behind.
It gets really good. I don't even know why I defend this anymore. Cause I get why people stopped watching. Cause I also stopped watching. I binged Yeah, I pretty much restarted at like season 6 and binged the rest of it last year just because I was like, I don't know. I want to watch a zombie thing. I don't even know why. I just did it. And I've really been enjoying it. So I don't know. But she's in it and she's fucking great. So I was stoked to see her in a Marvel movie. Very different flavors, obviously.
Absolutely.
But
she has a great character.
Yeah, she was fucking awesome. Like, even the way they depicted Speed is a very different way we've seen a speedster depicted in live action, right? Which I thought was very, very, very cool. But to get back to where it ranks, it's in the middle for me. It was very good, not a great movie to me. I know a lot of people love it and say it's in their top. A lot of people say it's in their bottom, which to me is kind of crazy that would be in the bottom to me personally. I just think there's a lot of good to this movie. Again, it's a lot of movie. It's a lot to take in. I can see why it's like overwhelming, or like, hey, they kind of put too much in.
There's like sensitive themes too that some people are gonna hate. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
There's some things in there that
anyone calling this movie woke, fuck off. It's not a fucking woke movie. It's a movie like what we just said. Guess what? There's people of other ethnicities and other sexual orientations all around the world. It's just a movie that had inclusion. It's not woke.
Representation.
Yeah, it's not woke. Like, I don't know what else to say. I saw people who are legit like film reviewers say this movie's woke, and I'm like, no, it's not. What's wrong with you? How is this movie woke? Like,
that's why I don't take anybody's criticism seriously until I watch it.
And oh yeah,
form my own opinion.
And that was the same with me, because usually, like, even if my friends see it before me, they'll be like, oh, here, this is what I thought about it. Because I love having those conversations with my friends. Or there's a ton of podcasts to listen to where I listen to it and take in what they said. But I always go in with an open mind, form my own opinion. There's tons of people who I listen to their podcasts and I totally disagree with how they feel in a movie, that's the beauty of any kind of art or entertainment, is everyone's going to have a different perspective. But for this one, like, I went in with... like Shang-Chi, I went in super stoked, like high expectations, and it blew it out of the water. This one, I had friends telling me like, oh man, I really liked it. It's really, really cool. And other friends being like, eh, it was whatever. So I had like no expectations. I was just like, I'm going in blind pretty much. Just whatever it gives me, I'm going to take it in, and that's that. And that's what I did. And I really, really enjoyed it. Again, if anyone's like, man, there was a lot, maybe too much in the movie. I'm like, yeah, I get it. That makes sense. Like, I understand it. I like kind of complicated movies. I didn't even say this movie is complicated. There's just a lot in it and a lot to try and digest and get through. Yeah. So to me, I kind of like the challenge of kind of trying to piece things together, which I can see why certain people don't want to do that, because a lot of people like to watch movies just turn off and not deal with anything. But there's a lot of movies I watch that are like that, and I like those movies too, like a Godzilla vs. Kong or a Mortal Kombat. Like, I just, those are pure popcorn movies to me that I'm just like churning off and enjoying it like a roller coaster. But I like that Marvel did a movie like this. It's very different from what they've done, and I'm glad they're doing different things. Like, we brought this up before, like Phase 4 is very different than anything they've ever done, And absolutely, like you said too, this is very much a setup movie, and I'm excited to see where these characters go, what the consequences of this movie for the cosmic side of the MCU I think are going to be, like, insane. So I'm very, very excited for that. So last question, which we kind of touched on, or we brought up earlier, Bolivian Bar asked, where was Kingo during the final fight? So I saw some people saying Kingo was just kind of the comic relief of the movie, which he was in a way, but when he stepped out of the fight, I think it brought a very another interesting perspective from this huge cast, is that he agreed with Icarus, but he didn't want to fight his family. He's like, hey, I'm with Icarus on this, but I don't want to fight you guys because I love you guys. So I'm going to see myself out, which is like a very cool thing. And that's something you experience in real life. Like, it's easily something you could experience.
How human they are.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's going to happen when you live with humans for thousands of years.
I mean, basically from the dawn of civilization. So they you know, but it's just very much like, yeah, I agree with Icarus because it's our job and it's kind of like what we're made for. And, but man, for me, I was like, oh, I really would have loved to have seen him just come in at some point, you know, to be like, I changed my mind, you know,
that would have been nice.
Like fight the deviant, like fight Crow or something. Just like, I don't, you know, and I like the whole sprite thing kind of annoyed me too, but just because I have high, you know, even though I just met these characters, I'm just like, oh, I expect them to be, you know, I expect them to do the right thing, but I understand conflict. And I think that also makes it interesting because Kingo's not like, oh, like I'm against you guys or I'm for him. You know, it's like, he's very gray. He's very gray about it.
Yeah. He was very, so almost neutral in the matter, you know,
and he's just like, fight it out, I guess. But at the same time, it's like, it's a little cowardly, but
oh, 100% it is.
So like, that's why it's well-rounded. It's not, it's not like I'm not mad at Kingo. I'm disappointed.
That's a good way to put it. That's a very, very, very good, because I think one review I watched, and they were like, yeah, Kingo just disappears in the third act. And I was like thinking that watching it, and I was like, he didn't disappear, he totally gave him a reason. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, he explained it like completely. Next part of this, I want to go into our favorite Eternals. So I know this is hard, there's 10 of them, so list who are your favorites, because in this, I love this question too, because for everyone it's usually completely different, which is awesome.
I like them. Okay, so I'm going to preface by saying I like them all because I think they're all, like, different characters.
Fair.
I like Druig a lot.
Druig was awesome.
Because, you know, that power that he had, that he could have been evil as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, instead of making humans, you know, which is still, in my opinion, wrong to, you know, take away people's free will, but he did it and everyone was peaceful and everyone was working, you know, it was a very peaceful situation.
Yeah.
Whereas he could have been like, oh, I'm taking over and we're wreaking havoc.
Easily.
Because from what I understand, he was kind of a villain in the comics. He was, he was kind of, you know, he had dark arcs. I like that I don't know if they're going to go that way eventually with him, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, anything could happen, but I really liked his, because he was, you know, he was very, like, he was emotional, you know, like, about humans. And another thing, it's like they all like evolved, you know, and I liked them as characters. Icarus, man, like, bummed me out. I think him and Sprite, I was like, damn, bummed me out, just because it's not that I don't like their characters, I just don't like the actions of their characters.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I can see that.
It's not even like they're bad characters. They're just real, you know. They're very grounded.
Yeah.
Another one, I like Sprite a lot. Like, even though she betrayed me,
stabbed you in the back, dude.
I just really liked. I liked that she was like the forever child. You know, kind of like, I was sympathetic. I, not that I hate, like, I, not that I. You know, I didn't like I didn't like that for her. You know, I felt bad for her.
Oh yeah, you can sympathize with what she's trying to feel. Like, she's been a child for like fucking 5,000 years or longer that she remembers. Yeah.
The very first time you see her in the modern day, she's got an illusion on herself of an adult
woman, yeah,
you know. So that, to me, that's why I liked her a lot. She was just like the innocence of her character, even though she's like madly in love with Icarus.
Yeah, I loved the Peter Pan analogy that Kingo made.
Yep.
I was like, as soon as he said it, I was like, yes, exactly. I was like, damn, that's good.
Yep, that was very, like, and like all the characters were great. Gilgamesh, loved him. Like, we talked about him earlier. Like,
he was awesome.
His selflessness.
Yeah.
And his power, you know, like he was a cool, like all of his fight scenes were like super cool, and he was just a monster.
He was a beast.
Let's see who else. I like Kingo a lot. You know, he's funny.
He is very funny.
But he's also an asshole.
Yeah.
which I like. You know, it's like he's kind of like a grimy ass. He's always been, you know, been a famous actor for like the last 100 years.
I love that. So, yeah. Even when they show the generations of himself pretending to be his like grandfather and great grandfather, and how he like did not waste any time between them. It's not like he waited like 30 years. He waited like 10 and rebooted himself. And I did make the joke when Oblivion Bar asked where he was, and I was like, he was obviously doing pre-pro for Shadow Warriors 4. that was my joke, but I gave an actual answer. But it would be funny if he's back to work, baby.
Or he's doing his YouTube content. You know, like
he doesn't do it for the views. He doesn't do it for the views.
So I really like, and you know, the whole Athena. You know, I'm not like an Angelina Jolie like super fan or anything. You know, but she did a really good job. And I really, because she does feel like, she does seem like a goddess, you know, like, she plays that role
very well. And yeah.
She's stoic, you know, she doesn't need to overact with it because she's a stoic character, which is great.
Yeah. And I loved how, even though she's like a legitimate movie star, she did not overpower anything that she was in. Like, yes, she may have.
She's not a main character. She's a secondary character for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I love that it was like that. This is not an Angelina Jolie movie by any stretch of imagination. You know, like, even like Richard Madden's been in some shit, like obviously Game of Thrones, and he was in the Netflix series Bodyguard, which if you haven't watched that, watch it, because it is fucking crazy and he's amazing in it. He was honestly my favorite. I think just because his story arc was so like heartbreaking, and even coming to, he's like, I'm a loyal soldier, I'm doing my job, I have to do what needs to be done, and at the end he succumbs to all of it for his love, which I thought was very, very, very cool. Gilgamesh was another one of my favorites. Like you said, he was awesome. That dude fucking rocked. I really loved Makari and Druig, and I hope we see more of their relationship, which I think we will, because they left on the ship to go find more Eternals.
That was one thing I thought was lacking, you know, because you could tell that they had they had a connection of some sort. I don't know if it's romantic
sure.
or what, but it's a connection of some sort, more so than the other characters. Those two you saw were just like a magnet.
So you could see,
I'm excited
it
to see
more of that,
the it blossom, and you know, further pictures.
Yeah, totally agree. I wish we saw more. That was more of the thing of hate putting the cart before the horse, because I know we're going to see more of them. But I loved seeing every scene with Makari and Druig, and I'm very excited to see
Icarus
more.
Icarus and Cersei's love thing, you couldn't really have. Well, you had Sprite was in there too.
I do love how they, even when they like had that moment at the battle, they're like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? They're like, this is a thing. You know, I love that. I thought that was great. Even Fastos was awesome. We didn't get much of him. Bryan. Whatever the fuck his name is. Sorry, I fucked it up. But he was awesome. Super funny. Even the moment with like his husband and his kid were super awesome and like endearing and everything like that.
Yeah, I love that. I think that, like I said, you know, it's a theme and it's something that a lot of people are going to hate on, but it's real life. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I saw it and I was like, that's beautiful. You know, I'm just happy that he found, you know, because like you see that scene where he like is responsible for the nuclear bomb.
You know? Yeah, and he was like done with humans, you know?
Yeah, he's just like, but he found in his husband a person that he's like, now I want to help humanity because I've seen
the good
in them from these people, not just from, because at that, you know, back then when he was just an eternal, he was just seeing it from like the full thing, you know?
But yeah.
He wasn't looking, because if you look at, obviously, if you look at human beings from a whole, we're destructive and we're destroying our planet and we're not very good overall, but like, but like there's certain people that make it all, you know, make it saving the world worth it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like the whole theme of this movie is that they, absolutely, the Eternals think this, especially Cersei and mostly everyone else. They're like, we need to save this planet. We need to save these humans, which is, very, very cool. We said they ended up pulling it off. So this last scene, which is like, I've said this about this movie is not like a happy movie. It doesn't end happy. No. There's not many happy moments in it. There's some like laughs and some like gratifying conclusions. But the movie ends. Cersei and Dane are talking, and he's about to reveal the kind of Black Knight kind of thing to her, and then she just Arishem comes in the cloud, takes them away along with Kingo and Phastos, and pretty much says, "You sacrificed Celestial for a planet. We are going to spare this planet, but we're going to use your memories to see if they pass our judgment," which kind of ties into what I talked about the comics of how planets usually had to go through tests. And it seems like this is kind of a test to them. And I really hope this leads to some kind of cosmic trial of sorts where maybe we see the Living Tribunal, or maybe we see like Eternity or something more crazy cosmic entities. I'm very excited to see where this goes. And this leads directly into the first after credit scene, which sees Makari, Druig, and Thena on the Domo looking to trying to find more Eternals to kind of and help against this, what seems is like an incoming war against the Celestials, which is very interesting since as there is like the creators of universes, but there is crazier cosmic entities out there, which we're only starting to scratch the surface on, which is why this movie, way it may not stack up to other movies, I feel like this movie is going to be a very important building block, especially in the cosmic side of the MCU. So we're in the Domo, and then we see a certain blip of lights and a seat, which this CGI was pretty bad. I don't know if it was done on purpose or they just ran out of money and had to do it fast.
Yeah, Pip.
Pip the Troll, voiced by Patton Oswalt, which I was stoked. I knew Patton Oswalt's voice is kind of in mistake. If you know who Patton Oswalt is, you're like, oh my God.
Absolutely.
And he introduces Harry Styles as Eros, which is the brother of Thanos. So kind of people are like, how the fuck is this dude who looks like a human and an Eternal, the brother of Thanos? So Thanos was an Eternal. They were both born from two Eternals, which they were the first, because the Eternals are not supposed to be able to reproduce. It's not supposed to be able to happen, but their parents somehow found a way. And when Thanos was born, he had a deviant gene, which he's not a deviant, he's an Eternal. But since deviants and Eternals are created by the same being.
Yeah, same shit.
Just like DNA, you know, he had a mutation. That's why he's all weird purple looking. So it kind of explains why he's so powerful and people couldn't really fuck with him. He was an Eternal. So that's why. And Harry Styles is his brother. And he shows that he has the orb that can communicate with another Celestial. That Celestial will find out in the future, I guess. And he says he can help them. He knows where the rest of their family is and that he can help them. So Eros is not a good person. Usually they could change this.
A horny bastard.
He is a horny bastard. So basically he's kind of an amalgamation. I don't know if they're going to do this in the MCU, but he's an amalgamation of all of the Eternals we know's powers, but he also can control emotions, which he does a very problematic shit in the comics, which funny enough, She-Hulk defends him in like a sexual assault case or something like that in the comics, which is insane. There's a lot of shit with She-Hulk. She like does shit with the TVA and shit like that. I kind of hope they kind of go into that eventually and get super, super crazy. We'll see. Eros was also an Avenger at one point and stuff like that. I think he leads like a new, very powerful. And I think he leads a new form of the Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics recently. He actually accidentally brings Thanos back to life, which is crazy. I don't think they're going to go that route, but I guess we'll see. But it is, I'm interested to see what he wants out of this. Like, is he kind of bringing them to kind of get his own will? Does he have this other kind of, like, motive? It's kind of hard to tell, but it's very exciting, especially someone like Harry Styles, which I saw some people kind of like, oh, Harry Styles, the MCU, what the fuck? This dude's an amazing actor, okay? He's in a Christopher Nolan movie. Chill out.
He's in Dunkirk. Right. See, I haven't seen Dunkirk.
He's.
I have to watch it. Now I want to watch it just because I want to see Harry Styles in it.
He's a really good actor, and he's very fitting for this role. Very, very fitting, especially because he's kind of like a well-liked person, obviously. He's a pop star.
Well-loved.
Yeah, he's a pop star. So him,
all girls want to fuck him.
So yeah, so him playing a character like this but then end up being bad, I think is awesome. I love that. So very interesting to see where, again, this is kicking the cosmic door wide open. A bunch of crazy shit's going to happen. It leads the door to Galactus, to, like I said, Eternity, Living Tribunal, more Celestials. Because Airshim's the only Celestial we've really seen. Obviously, we see the tip of Tiamat coming out of the Earth. But we saw
another one.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, it's... it's something the Searcher, Arishem's the judge, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but yes, we do see him in Guardians, and also the Nowhere is supposed to be the severed head of a Celestial, and
Ego's technically a Celestial, but I'm not really sure.
He could be lying, and I've seen kind of different takes on it, because someone kind of misquoted James Gunn saying, like, oh, he is a Celestial, but I've heard that it might be the whole Celestial of it all might be tackled in Guardians 3. Which is very interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously,
I also saw, like, somebody said, it was just a theory, obviously, but somebody was like, instead of exploding the planet, Ego becomes the planet. You know, instead of, you know, because there really wasn't a population on that planet.
Yeah, I did see someone that there was, like, a really cool theory that he was, like, an early, like, almost like a Celestial thing, like he was like almost like an early form of an Eternal or an early form of a Celestial formed before the other ones, and that's why he could kind of shapeshift, and the whole like seed planting thing is kind of what the Celestials do, and he kind of had the same weird. They just did it differently, so it's like maybe he was like a Mark One of the Celestials before we get the big crazy ones that we see now, which is interesting. Yeah. So I am very interested to see if they touch on that later on, like if we do get answers for that in Guardians. If not, whatever. But it will be interesting to see if they close that loop somewhere along the line. And now we get to the last end credits scene. And I'm going to be honest. When this first happened, I definitely knew the voice, but I had to look it up because I wasn't exactly sure. And I saw a lot of people get this wrong. I saw a lot of people get this wrong, which made me feel way better about it. But I'm going to be honest. I'm not a know-it-all. I don't know everything. And I was like, who's that voice? I know that voice. So we see Dane Whitman. There's this big box. He opens it up, the Ebony Blade's in it. So Dane Whitman becomes the Black Knight. The Ebony Blade is a blade that actually brings out the worst in you. So it's another like spiritual, like mystical item, which now we're obviously diving a lot deeper into with like WandaVision and things like Moon Knight, and then eventually, which we're going to get to. But he goes to grab it, and then we hear a voice says, "Do you think you're ready for that, Mr. Whitman?" And I know a lot of people thought, oh, maybe that's Sam Jackson. Oh, maybe that's Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher. We just saw What If. Maybe it's the Watcher. But no. It is Mahershala Ali as Blade. It's been confirmed. Blade. It's been confirmed by Chloe Zhao and Mahershala Ali himself. He talked about this in a recent interview. So it is Blade, which is very, very interesting to see that Dane Whitman's going to be linked with Blade. He was linked with them in the comics, and it's like MI-13. It's like a British task force that takes out supernatural beings. But the group Blade is most known for is the Midnight Suns, which a lot of people have been speculating that will happen in the MCU with Ghost Rider down the line, with Moon Knight. We already know Moon Knight's coming. So I really think we're going to see these three team up probably pretty soon.
We're getting some supernatural shit coming soon.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like, that's what's cool about this end credit scene is that the other one set up the cosmic, like, you know, with Eros coming in, it's like, oh, yep. Shit, like, Eros has come. Like, there's Eros there. We're talking about, you know, other Celestials and, you know, trying to find the other Eternals that are kind of evolved to become, you know, more than what they are, you know.
Yep.
And then we get this other one where it's like, oh, shit, they're setting up vampires and you know, Blade, and like that's like Moon Knight is gonna be like a, I feel like, or not Moon, and obviously Moon Knight, but I think Black Knight's gonna be a lot darker. It's gonna be a lot more.
Yeah,
it's gonna be cool.
Which I love that they're placing these two together, and that like I really think he's gonna be a member of like the Midnight Suns, and it seems like Blade is gonna be like the leader, and kind of I think he's trying to kind of Nick Fury his way into find people who can help him fight these supernatural beings, like vampires, like Agatha Harkness, maybe. Like, they could tie into the House of Harkness for all we know. We have no idea. And that's very exciting. I'm very excited to see more of the supernatural realm of the MCU.
Does Black Knight get his own thing, or does he just end up in Blade?
I think he might be in Blade, and that'll be the next time we see him. If I had to guess. Which is really, really cool, and I'm very excited to see Blade in the MCU, especially Mahershala Ali play Blade. I love Wesley Snipes' Blade. That movie is amazing. It still stands the test of time.
It's a great movie.
It's the opening scene is fucking iconic. Some of the CGI, obviously the vampires blowing up, doesn't really hold up, but
you know,
it's of its time. Okay, give it a little slack. But those movies are badass as fuck. So I can't wait to see Mahershala Ali take this on. And bring us more into the darker supernatural realm of the MCU. There's actually the Ebony Blade was like stolen by Dracula, and he replaces it with a fake one. They could play with that. I mean, Blade could show up in Morbius. Blade, like Morbius, is very connected into the origin of Blade. He's the one who kind of gives him all of his powers, and he becomes the full-on Daywalker in the comics, which, again, they could change. But I know the latest Morbius trailer is very confusing because it seemingly had Easter eggs from every Spider-Man universe there ever has been, which could be...
That's the leading up to the No Way Home, and it's leading up to the multiverse and everything.
Which the No Way Home's events could easily play into Morbius. It could. I'm interested to see where Morbius lands. I think Morbius looks really cool. I'm also a sucker for vampire shit, so maybe that's why. But I think it looks really cool. And it definitely seems like they're not making him a full-on anti-hero like they did with Venom. And it seems like he's going to be kind of just a villain, which is really cool to me. That they're doing like a movie about a dude who's kind of bad. You know, like he's fucking...
Not like with Black, so what they're doing. Well, I mean, obviously this is MCU, but it's, you know, DC EU or whatever, but... with Black Adam, because he's a villain, but they're making a movie about him.
Yeah, and it's from that clip we saw of Black Adam, seems like he's going to be a bad motherfucker, which I'm here for. And that's another thing with like Harry Styles. It's The Rock. Who doesn't love the fucking Rock? Everyone loves The Rock.
Love The Rock.
And
I Red Notice last night.
I haven't watched it yet. Is it awesome?
I liked it. It was very good. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. You can't go wrong with Ryan Reynolds
and
The Rock.
Yeah, I know. Sam really wants to watch it. She loves Gal Gadot. Loves her. And
She's awesome in that movie.
She's like the villain, isn't she? She's like the bad guy.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
I saw that trailer and I was like, oh, she's the bad guy? Cool. I was like, I'm down for that. But yeah.
Good too.
That's awesome. I'm very excited to watch that movie. It seems just like fun. Yeah, it's like one of those popcorn movies, it seems like to me. You know, just a fun time.
Chill.
Yeah. I'm down with that. But yeah,
The Eternals is not. You gotta actually pay attention to
that movie. Is not chill. It is a lot to take in. You really need to pay the fuck attention. But,
I'm glad they gave us like 2 hours and 35 or 40 minutes to do it, you know.
And that's the thing too, is that the more I think about this movie and the more conversations I have about it, there's a lot to talk about with this movie, which is what more do you want out of a movie than that? To have people keep talking about it, you know, and keep having the discussions.
We're talking about all the details.
Exactly, which is awesome, and that's like a big plus I will give to this movie. And again, we both say we liked it a lot. I said this about Black Widow. Like Black Widow is in like the middle of the MCU.
Black Widow I think for me, Thor's Dark World is bottom, just because of the movie.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's the only MCU movie I've never seen all the way through. I just
really?
I fall asleep every time. I don't know. Maybe I just have to like drink some coffee and like watch it one day.
There is one thing is that there's this really awesome Jason Aaron Thor run, and it has to do with Malekith. And Malekith has this like long metal hair, and he's a fucking badass in it. And I kind of wish we got more of the badass Malekith. I feel like he was kind of wasted, which is kind of was, you know, that is a big criticism of the MCU, is they've killed a lot of villains that they did not need to kill. But
that's like, that was the way, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you kill every movie ends with the villain dying. But they've gotten better about it over the years.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So,
but yeah, this movie is definitely like middle of the road. Eternals is just it could be a little higher just because I know that it's setting up so much.
And you know? That's another beautiful thing about the MCU. As more things come out and add to it, and then I found this when I did a rewatch before Infinity War. It like completely changed my opinions on like the earlier Iron Man movies. Well, like Iron Man 2 and 3, which are predominantly hated on, but I like love Iron Man 3. I have like, but even though I love Iron Man 3, but it's still near the bottom of my list. Again, there's no MCU movie I don't like. There's just movies I like more. But like I tell that people all the time. I was like, dude, do a rewatch. I was like, you'll probably find way different opinions about all these movies than you remember, because a lot of them kind of get just shit on the internet and through the zeitgeist. So you kind of carry that shit with you, and you're like, oh yeah, that movie sucks. You're right. And then you go and rewatch it, and then especially with stuff they've added, especially with Dark World, they've added different stuff with Loki and Endgame, and you're like, oh wow, like this isn't that bad. Like this isn't as bad as I remembered it. Which is, I implore people. I haven't done a rewatch in a few years now. It's Infinity War. I've kind of went like during WandaVision, I went back and rewatched Doctor Strange because I had this crazy theory that Agatha was working for Dormammu. I went down a deep dark rabbit hole, like a lot of people did with WandaVision.
Mephisto, everyone was.
I am Mephisto. Buy my t-shirt. I'm Mephisto on a t-shirt. Melcorners.com. They already shipped out. People bought them. They're cool. but yeah, I do think Mephisto will come eventually, but it'll be when we're least expecting it. We'll see. Maybe not.
I know they're going to spoil it in a trailer for us.
That would be a super troll and a move I would respect, honestly. I think I would respect that move.
I can't handle any more No Way Home spoilers. Please I'm just asking the internet to stop.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I just want to watch this movie and be blown away because I know it's going to be amazing. And I just want, oh man, I'm excited. That movie's going to be movie of the year.
It might be. Dune's my movie of the year. And I think it's going to be a lot to take down, but we'll see.
I'm playing a show that night and I'm kind of pissed. I might just have to go and see it the night before.
Ooh.
They do Thursday showings, you know?
Yep.
So I'll hit a Thursday show.
Do it. You gotta do it. Someone, I bet you if you don't, someone will spoil it for you at the show. I would almost bet money.
I guarantee that, or just Facebook in general, you know? Just
that's
like,
it. On there,
the very first thing, it's like, you know, Uncle Ben came back and then they killed him again, you know? It's like, 35 Uncle Ben's.
Yeah, they killed Uncle Ben 100 times in the movie. that's a funny meme I've seen. That's funny. So before we get out here, is there anything you want to plug that you have going on with the band? I know you just got home from tour, so maybe not. But
yeah. I mean, Holofront's just still doing what we do best, and which is just grinding. You know, we're gonna have new music coming out like. Barely like January.
Cool.
Like
awesome.
Early January. You can check us out on anything at Holofront. I'm on Twitter. We're at Holofront Band. But just go to Google, type in Holofront, check us out.
It all comes up.
We're all over. And we're playing a show with Ice Nine Kills for Christmas.
Ooh.
Which will be really cool if you're near Cincinnati. Where it's in Kentucky, but it's like really close to Cincinnati.
Oh, it's the like Covington? So it's
yep. So we're playing with them, and then that should be amazing because I'm sure they're gonna do some crazy Christmas themed, you know.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
And then we're playing with Miss May I.
Miss May I, yep.
For a Christmas show, we already talked about that. Other than that, we're February. We're touring with Era in Europe.
In Europe, yes. Hell yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's pretty much all I can talk about.
It's fair. I know how that goes. So. Awesome. Yes. Keep a lookout for new music coming next year. When they drop some new shit, it'll definitely be added to the pull list. 1,000%. Of course, man. I mean, you guys put out good music, so I'm going to reward that. I mean, I don't know if it's a big reward, but I will promote it as best as I can.
listening to it is a reward.
True. That's a very good point, but awesome. Thank you again so much for joining us. And, well, I mean, we talk pretty frequently. Anytime, man.
Let me just say thank you for having me. I've been a part of the group for, I don't know, probably almost a year now, and just I really enjoy like other people who listen to heavy, and it's not, I'm sure there's people that don't listen to metalcore in the group.
But oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Having this group of people that, you know, are super nerdy and like get like to get down and like the nitty gritty of what's going on with at least what the entertainment side.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing that and for having me, because I was like, I was so stoked. I was like, I have to get a hold of Sean and be like, I want to be on it.
I do. I love that. I'm so glad I had it on. This is an awesome conversation. We'll definitely have another one in the future for sure.
Absolutely.
Awesome, guys. Yes, you know the drill. You go to metalcore.com. You can check out all the social media at Metalcore Nerds. Join in on Twitter. There's been a lot of really cool engagement on our Twitter lately. I post a lot more news and stuff. Like, obviously, I try to post it in the group, or someone else beats me to it in the group and everything like that. But it's a nice way to connect with the podcast and help it grow. Social media numbers matter. I'm trying to get some more cool things where I can get early previews of certain stuff, and I'm on my way there. So if you can follow there, subscribe on podcasts, subscribe on YouTube, those stuff help the most. And do that. And if you do subscribe already on Apple Podcasts, leave a review, because reviews also matter for things like that. So anything you can do, that's all stuff that's free, really easy to do. So if you haven't, go do that. Helps me out a lot. Grow the thing, which it's been going very well so far, so we'll see where it takes us down the road. But again, I said thank you, I'll say thank you many times again. Check out Hollow Fronts. I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Tyler and I, and until next time, see you later, nerds.